Aurelius's house was dark and empty. Belatedly, I realized he must be out delivering cakes for Christmas parties. Where else would a caterer be just before Christmas? I put the card I had bought at a shop near the station through the mail slot and set off through the woods towards Angelfield House. It was cold, cold enough for snow. Beneath my feet the ground was frost hard, and above the sky was dangerously white. I walked briskly. With my scarf wrapped around my face as high as my nose, I soon warmed up. At the clearing I stopped. In the distance, at the site, there was unusual activity. I frowned. What was going on? My camera was around my neck, beneath my coat. The cold crept in as I undid my buttons. Using my long lens, I watched. There was a police car on the drive. The builder's vehicles and machinery were all stationary, and the builders were standing in a loose cluster. Behind them, a white tent had been erected to cover part of the site. The house was gone, but judging from the coach house, the gravel approach, the church, I guessed it was where the library had been. Beside it, one of their colleagues and a man I took to be their boss were in conversation with another pair of men. These others were dressed one in a suit and overcoat, the other in a police uniform. The builder was speaking in short sentences, and in his long and frequent pauses, the others did not speak, but watched him with intense patience. At one point he raised a finger in the direction of the machine and mimed its jaw of jagged teeth biting into the ground. At last he gave a shrug, frowned, and drew his hand over his eyes as though to wipe them clean of the image he had just conjured. A flap opened in the side of the white tent. A fifth man stepped out of it and joined the group. There was a brief, unsmiling conference, and at the end of it, the boss went over to his group of men and had a few words with them. They nodded, and as though what they had been told was entirely what they were expecting, began to gather together the hats and thermos flasks at their feet and make their way to the cars parked by the lodge gates. The policeman in uniform positioned himself at the entrance to the tent, back to the flap, and the other ushered the builder and his boss toward the police car. I lowered the camera slowly, but continued to gaze at the white tent. I knew the spot. I had been there myself. I remembered the desolation of that desecrated library, the fallen bookshelves, the beams that had come crashing to the floor, my thrill of fear as I had stumbled over burned and broken wood. There had been a body in that room, buried in scorched pages with a bookcase for a coffin, a grave hidden and protected for decades by the beams that fell. Was it Hester? Yet she had left the year before, hadn't she? Why would she have come back? And then it struck me. And it was the very simplicity of the idea that made me think it might be true. What if Hester had never left at all?